Well, last week we were introduced to Lazarus in John chapter 11, and I would encourage you to open your Bibles and turn there as we continue to look at one of the great narratives in the Bible. We said that Lazarus, or Eleazar, that his name means God helped, and this or God is my helper. And this Lazarus, he's different than the one that we see in Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. We'd gone into some detail about the fact that John chapter 11, it's about love. Jesus, he loved Lazarus as a brother. He loved his sisters as well. And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed two more days where he was to make sure that Lazarus would die. And it seems kind of a strange way to show love to somebody, to let them die. But as we see in verse 4 here of John 11, it says the reason for Lazarus' sickness and eventual death was so that the glory of God should be revealed. And more specifically, that the Son of God would be glorified through it. So we see also that God in all of his majesty, that God the Father will be glorified as well as God the Son. And verse 4, I think, really draws this out, that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God to be glorified. And how can you glorify something that's already glorious? It can't be increased. He's already as glorious as he'll ever be. But you magnify it, you display it, so the whole world can see it. We're told in Isaiah 42:8 that the Lord will not give his glory to anyone else. And so we've talked about that there's a oneness in the Trinity, that they glorify one another because each person is God, one God in three persons. And this circumstance of Lazarus dying, it will show that the Son of God has the power even over death. And I think one of the greatest realizations that as believers that we can ever come to is to have a correct understanding on the theology of suffering, that God can allow suffering and even death for his glory. Even when he has the power to save or to heal, sometimes he may not heal in order for you and I, or maybe others, to see the glory of God magnified. We said that God can even be glorified through death, and many times we see that someone can come to faith, even at a funeral, because of the testimony of a believer and how they lived, and we can hear of people coming to faith in Christ. And so what is our chief end? What is the chief end of man? It's to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And Jesus tells his disciples that he was glad that he was not at Lazarus' death so that the disciples may believe. And Lazarus' death was to glorify God. A great quote from Charles Stanley on this passage. It says, "We have to understand that God is more concerned with growing our faith than making us uncomfortable, making us comfortable. He was glad about the death of Lazarus because he valued his friend's faith over their tears." Jesus has more care for us to grow in our faith, that he allows things like trials and tribulations to come our way so that our faith can be greater, so that it can be stronger. Because bad things, they're going to happen. How we relate to them as believers, it makes all the difference in the world. And we're going to see that John 11, it's the hinge of the Gospel of John. Because the next 10 chapters of John, they're going to be a more private setting with the disciples than with that of the world. They're going to span mostly the last week of Jesus' life. And the resurrection of Lazarus, it's the last of seven miracles outside of Jesus' own resurrection. Well, let's pick up at John 11, verse 17. John 11, 17 says, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.'" And God add a blessing to the reading of his word. In verse 17, when Jesus came, he had found that Lazarus had been dead for already 4 days. This is no surprise to Jesus. If you remember, Jesus, he has a plan. And the plan is to raise him from the dead. Being dead for 4 days, it causes many scholars to believe that the day the messenger sent off to find Jesus was the day that Lazarus dies. The messenger, he leaves, taking a day to get to Jesus, who's in the north, up by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, he hears that Lazarus is sick. He stays 2 more days. He didn't immediately start going back to Judea or to Jerusalem, and once hearing that his friend was sick. In verse 7, it said that after this, after 2 days, Jesus tells his disciples that they're going back to Jerusalem. And by the time they get to Bethany, Jesus has been in the grave. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. And according to the ESV Study Bible, some later Jewish sources, they indicate that there was a belief that the soul kind of just hovered around the body for 3 days, hoping to reenter it. But then it gives up and then departs. Again, Lazarus, he's really, really dead. And Bethany, we said, it borders Jerusalem on the east side. It's only, this is in the text, 2 miles away. After Lazarus dies, many come to comfort Martha and Mary. Verse 19 says, many of the Jews had come to comfort Mary and Martha. And some have said that this showed that the family had prominence. We'll see that Lazarus is in a carved out tomb with a stone. Regardless, we know that they all know Jesus. And we see three times that people will say, "Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." This statement, it's going to be repeated by Martha, Mary, and the crowds. And Martha, in verse 20, she gets here that Jesus has finally made it back into town, and she goes out to meet him. And obviously, this is not at their house because it says she went and met him. She left Mary at home, and maybe this is just outside the village. Maybe it's close to the cemetery. We don't know exactly, but we see that she goes out to meet Jesus. And the facts are this, that Lazarus is dead. Jesus could have healed him if he had gotten there earlier. Now Martha and Mary, they're grieving the loss of their dead brother. It's been 4 days. These are the facts. And Martha, she's very bold in her statement. She says, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." MacArthur, he says that this is not a rebuke, but it's a testimony of the fact that Jesus has healing power. The fact of the matter is that Lazarus could still have died even if Jesus was next to him. This death was so that Jesus was able to manifest his glory. And so remember, Jesus, he has a plan. The plan is to have his glory manifested. But one has to ask, does she know who she's talking to? Because sometimes in grief, we just say things that just come out of our mouth, whether it's out of anger or whatever. And the emotions, they're all over the place when someone dies. She just lost her brother. Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus, he wouldn't have died. Jesus is going to hear this again from three different people. But we see kind of a sense of composure comes over her, and she says, "But even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And I'm wondering, is this a sense of foreshadowing, maybe, that she believes that he has the power to raise her brother? MacArthur again says that based on her statement in verse 39, that he's already been there for 4 days, she's not saying she believed Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, but that she knew Jesus had a special relationship to God so that his prayers could bring some good from this sad event. And Jesus' words are comfort, is that your brother will rise again. There is hope for everyone who has died, that there will be a resurrection. Jesus said earlier in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Jesus, he's already told people back in John 5 that those that believe in the Son will be saved at the resurrection of the just and the unjust. And here Martha says, "I know that he will rise again on the last day." And this leads to one of Jesus' biggest I am statements in John 11:25. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." This is the fifth I am statement. He said four other times in John 6 that I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And now I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Her brother just died. And Jesus asked her if she believes that whoever believes in him shall never die. Now, I want you to know that death is real. It's going to happen. None of us are going to be able to avoid death. Every single one of us are going to die physically. We're told that the wages of sin is death from Romans 6:23. Physical death is going to happen. You're going to die because of our ancestors, of Adam and Eve, eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But also, we've all sinned individually to deserve physical and even spiritual death. Martha here, she says, "I know that he, my brother Lazarus, I know that Lazarus will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." And this gives us great insight as to what their theology and their line of thinking was at this time, because we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they fought over this matter of even the resurrection and the dead. Acts 23:8 says, "The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection or angels or spirits, but the Pharisees believe both." This was Paul's defense. He said, "I'm being judged concerning of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." And here we know that Martha believes in the resurrection of the dead. She says she knows that her brother will rise at the last day. Job 19:25 Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Even David in 2 Samuel 12, he knew that he would see his deceased child again. Job knew it. David knew it. Mary and Martha, they knew that there would be a resurrection of the dead. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You can believe that Jesus saves you from your sins. You can believe that when a loved one dies who's trusted in Jesus, that when they die, they will go to be in heaven and will be with Jesus. But it's still hard. It's always hard when someone dies. And why is death so hard? I've been to both Christian funerals and funerals of a person who showed no fruit. And there can be a huge difference in the way that a Christian family mourns, because we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We have hope that God will raise the dead. But death is always difficult, particularly with a loved one. Martha, she gives a great confession of faith. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, which means Messiah. I believe that you are the Son of God who is to come into the world. She's there. She believes that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, and that even in sorrow of losing her brother, she acknowledges Jesus' sovereignty over this issue. And I believe she's even saying that if Jesus would have been there, that Jesus had the power to prevent Lazarus from dying. Again, she doesn't know why her brother had to die. Lazarus' death was so that the glory of God would be manifested by eventually resurrecting him. And sometimes we can't see why bad things happen on this side of eternity. She will. She's going to see why her brother had to die, to show the manifestation of the Son of God's glory, that Jesus, the God-man, that he has the power even over death. But sometimes it's like we're looking at the back of a tapestry, and all we can see are the threads, and they don't make any sense. But when we look at it from the different angle, from we look at it from the front, it seems to be so much clearer. Because death was real. Death was real for Martha. It was real for Mary. And it's going to get real, real for Jesus real quick. Death brings pain. We're told that death is an enemy. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, it will be the last enemy to be destroyed. In a moment, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, and then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. When Jesus resurrects us, and when we are changed at the rapture, there will be no more sting of death. Then our faith will be made sight. He will give the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what a day. But for now, the sting of death is real. There's real pain in death. There's suffering. He will come again, church. Jesus will come again, and he will bring us home. He will comfort us. And most of us can relate to having a loved one pass away, that there's pain in it. But death is not how God intended us to live. God had breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. It said that God made Adam in the likeness of God, that he gave him a soul. But God also had to keep his promises, that the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And Adam lived to be 930 years old, and then he died. It was some 800 years after he had Seth and had eaten of the fruit. And so there's physical death, like Adam and Lazarus had experienced, but there's also spiritual death. God has told us that we have to be accountable for our sin, and this is done by physical death. But spiritual death, or separation from God for all eternity, this is a far worse death. Spiritual death, or the second death, is when hell is thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. And that lake will burn forever, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And hell is an awful place. But God's Son paid the penalty on the cross so that we don't have to go there, so that we don't have to be separated from Him forever. And so I have to ask, have you come to the place where you're totally inadequate without Jesus, that you're lost and that you're dead without Him? Because a great question to ask yourself is, would you want to go to heaven if Jesus wasn't there? John Piper, he asks this. He says, the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this: if you could have heaven with no sickness, with all your friends you ever had on earth, all the food you ever liked, all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? Because heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Maybe you've prayed and you've prayed for a particular healing, and healing doesn't come. It's not because God is mad at you. God wasn't mad at Mary or Martha. He allowed their brother to die to show them how glorious He is, to show them that Jesus has the keys to death and hell, that He gives eternal life to all that trust in Him. Even through the darkest moments, He gives us Himself. Verse 21, He has the power over death and life. This is what Martha says. She says, if you had been here, Lazarus, my brother, he wouldn't have died. She knows that Jesus has the power over life and death. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Jesus has the power over life and death. Everything that God does is good. We may not always see it as good. We may not always understand it as good, but everything that God does is good. He's working all things out for good for those that love Him. He causes all things because of His providence. He orchestrates even the awful worst events in your life to accomplish something greater. And when you see that, when you see that He loves us, that He loves us so much that He gave His only Son, even death won't matter anymore. Pain, suffering, cancer, depression, death, every bad thing in the world, God could snap His fingers and in an instant it would go away. And someday it will. But for now, we trust in His word that He is the resurrection and the life, and that those that believe in Him, even though we die, we will live. We will live forever with Him when we confess Him as Lord. Because there's only one way to God. The great shepherd who laid His life down for us, He is the door to eternal life. And whatever the circumstances you may go through, He is there. His will for you is good. It may not seem like it, but it is. It's only belief in Jesus that gives us resurrection, because He is the resurrection. Jesus takes a tragedy and He turns it into a treasure. So we see the revelation of the Son of God's glory. He says, I am the resurrection. He who believes in me shall never die. What does never mean? Never. Never. at no time in the future, no occasion, not ever. When we believe in Jesus, when we fully trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, though we die physically, we can live eternally with Him in heaven. Jesus is what everybody needs. Even Lazarus, and he's dead. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. There's no hiding of what Jesus is saying here. There's no, don't tell anyone that I'm the Messiah. There's the proclamation that he is the Son of God, that he is the one that gives eternal life. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty, God in the flesh. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the revelation of God's glory, the exact image of the invisible God, as Colossians 1:15 says. Hebrews 1:3, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word. We will have eternal, everlasting life when we trust and when we believe in him, when we repent of our sins and when we seek forgiveness. When we seek him as our great treasure, when the kingdom of God becomes the pearl of great price, when Jesus is worth more than anything, even our own lives. And so the greatest question that's ever asked, Jesus brings it very personal to Martha. He asks her, "Do you believe this?" The greatest question asked, probably at the most tragic thing that ever happened in Martha's life. Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life. But do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus is God's Son, come into the world to be glorified, to be lifted up, to die the death that we should have died, to pay for the sins of mankind, to die for the sins that we committed this morning, that we're going to commit later, next week? He's paid for them, for all the sins of mankind. Jesus asks this question to you and I. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And that by believing in him, we can have eternal life. Martha's response is threefold. She gives three titles. She says, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. I believe you are the Son of God. What great faith. What great faith. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the one who is to come into this world. Church, when you take your last breath, when you take your last breath on this earth and you stand before God Almighty and he asks you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What are you going to say? Because there's only one name. There's only one key. There's only one door into heaven. And his name is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. His perfect life must be applied to your life. His life for yours. And so we need to be like Martha. We need to go to Jesus. He's already come. We're to go to him in prayer. We're to go to him in affliction. We're to go to him in desire and longing to see him in our strength and in our weakness, even when death happens. Because when we go to him, he cares for us. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in him, even though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Jesus shall never die. Church, do you believe this? I believe you. I hope you do. I pray that you do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your divine sovereignty, that you are in control of all things, even the very breaths that we take. They are gifts from you. The very hairs of our head are numbered, and so are our days, O Lord. May we not waste what has been given. Help us to cherish and to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you that you have come, and that you've died, and that you will come again. Lord, any can come and believe in you. Thank you for the gift of faith. Lord, may we confess you as Lord and live according to your word and into your precepts. Lord, as we even move into our communion service, may we seek your face. May we all know that we are sinners and that Jesus Christ saves us from our sins. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.